every temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory
Father, we glorify your name today.
Amen.
We lift up your name.
Amen.
We lift up the only name that there is.
Yes.
As we search through the scriptures, we ask, you know, for an open way into the heart of God so that we can receive the things that be of God, so that we can receive the things that be of the Spirit. We know that in your light there is life. Blessed be your name, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Now we know by now that the hope of every man upon the face of the earth is the resurrection from the dead. We're not trying to say that everybody realizes this, but everybody will come to realize and appreciate that your consolation lies only in the resurrection from the dead. Praise God. The resurrection from the dead is not something that has got to do with people in the grave, physical graves. The resurrection from the dead applies to every man that has descended into this material realm called the world. Praise God. So you see, the reason Christ was sent was to bring about an awakening once more in the people, so that the people can once more live in the truth, so that they can once more live in the light, in the reality of what God designed for them from the beginning of the world. Just look around you, look at the suffering, the pain, and the turmoil in the midst of the world. Is it God that is the author of the evil and the wickedness we see in the world today? Of course not. The pain and the anguish of soul we see, the tears, bitter tears in men, we can see that it is not the will of God. Praise God. So God wants every child to come to realize that original pattern, that original creation that He committed into our hands from the foundation of the world. When Daniel saw the vision of the end, Daniel saw people coming out of the dust, people waking from the dust. Praise God, you see this in Daniel chapter 12, the last chapter. It says, many that sleep in the dust will awake. See it, and some will, you know, shine, you know, as stars in the firmament, in the heavens. So you can see that is the hope of our calling, that awakening from the dust, awakening from that life that we've lived in ignorance. We must understand that Jesus Christ says, I am not of this world. I am not of this world. I am from above, you are from beneath. I am from the heavens and you are from the earth. You are from the lower places of the earth. Now when he talks about you, he's talking here about man in his fallen state. I am not of this world. I am of a spiritual, celestial, eternal kingdom, not of this material world that comes to naught. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That is the place that He's gathering every one of us into in this hour. For He says that where I am, there you will be also. He's gathering the people who are scattered, dispersed, you know, along the four corners of the earth, those who are dispersed and buried in the graveyard of humanity, is gathering them back unto Himself in the spirit. And we should realize that this is the hope of our calling. Praise God.
Amen.
That every man should awaken from the illusion of his life as a mortal and all his attachments to this outer realm called the world. Praise God. This is the awakening that is happening now. This is all before now. We've lived in a dream world, a world that has no eternal value, a world that we have cooked up in our own imagination. But God is opening our eyes to a new dimension, a new realm. You see, it is an incorruptible kingdom that is reserved for those who love the name of the Lord, those who seek the name of the Lord. Now, I'm going to read some things in, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. These are things that we've read before. But like I said, we have to go back again and read these things and read them again. We have to go back and meditate on them, you know. Go back, go forth and, you know, back and forth. And this thing has to become life and flesh in us. Praise God. So we're going to go into 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look, because this is a chapter that speaks about the resurrection from the dead. This is a chapter that speaks about the eternal purpose of God. Praise God. The eternal purpose of God that cannot be stopped, that cannot be hindered by any man. It's just like the way the day dawns, the dawning of a day, isn't it? When can anybody push down, stop the dawning of a day?
No.
You cannot stop the dawning of the day. In likewise manner, No man can stop the eternal purpose of God for our lives individually. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about the resurrection of the dead. It talks about Christ, the first fruits, and those that are Christ at his coming. Praise God. I'll start off from verse 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 20. If you have time, you can go back from the first, from the beginning, from verse 1. But now is Christ risen from the dead, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 20, and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Now, what does it mean to be first fruits? I've heard of, you know, I've never farmed before, but I heard people who are farmers tell me that normally you have some crops that, you know, germinate and grow and mature before the other crops in the farmyard. These are the first fruits. And Paul is saying here that Christ has become the first fruits, you know, of them that slept. That means he himself, Christ, tasted of death.
Yes.
He himself descended and tasted of that life as a mortal man of the earth. You know, Jesus Christ tasted of the humanity. You know, he felt the way we felt.
Yes.
You know, he had the temptations we had.
Okay.
You know, when he was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. You know, it was actually, when you say the devil tempted him, you know, it was actually his human reasoning.
Yes.
It was actually the carnal mind that was actually tempting him to go for the glories of this world, to abandon his faith, to abandon his work in the spirit and go back to embrace the glories of this world. See, so you can see Jesus Christ had his own, he experienced humanity. Yes. He tasted what it meant to be separate from the Father. You see it? Because in our humanity, we all have that, we've all had that what? Sense of what? Separation from God. Every man has always felt that God is somewhere far away and he is here somewhere. That he is here upon the earth and God is somewhere there. That he has his own life and God has his own life. And they are separate beings. Jesus Christ also tasted of this sense of separation. He also tasted of the temptation, what it means to be tempted. See, people just think Jesus Christ was just one, what do you call it, perfect light being from heaven. Yes, he walks in the reality, but he also had to subject the flesh body, the carnal mind, under his feet. He had to put it under subjection. He had to keep it under check. He too had to be prayerful. He too had to be watchful. See, he too had his emotions. At times he cried. He too at times had his physical limit, you know, how do I put it? Liabilities. At times the Bible says he would get tired. He was tired. He slept. Moments before going to the cross, he too felt the pressure of, you know, how do I put it, the pressure of backing out from that course that the Father had ordained for him. He too wanted to back out. He said, Father, if it were possible, let this cup pass over me. Say, but he said, nevertheless, thy will be done. So you can see, Jesus Christ tasted of this thing called separation from God. He tasted of death. Because the moment any man is born into this world, what happens is that he dies. The moment any man is introduced into this realm called the world, he dies. Because the realm does not know, this realm, this world does not know God. This is a realm where men live in relation to sight, in relation to the physical senses, where men live, you know, in relation to a wisdom that is not of God. Praise God. So Jesus Christ tasted of death. He tasted of what it means to be asleep, because all men are what? Asleep. also he became the first fruits from among the dead. That means the first to taste of that new life, that resurrection life. And when you say first fruit, it means that there are many others who are going to follow. Praise God, isn't it? If you have the first fruit, it means that there are many other fruits that are going to be ripened, and those many other fruits, or rather many others who are going to resurrect after the same manner of Christ. Those many who are going to awake from the deep sleep of humanity. Oh, praise God. That's why it's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In Adam all die, and even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, did he say in Adam all Christians die? Did he say in Adam all Muslims died? Did he say in Adam all Baptist people died? Did he say in Adam all Hebrews died? No. He said in Adam all men died. See, but in Christ, all men are what? Made alive. See, all men shall be made alive in Christ. And this is the hope of all men upon the earth. You might not be conscious of this fact, but realize that this is the end of the whole matter. That we have died, we slept, and we've walked as men upon the earth, and we've suffered many horrors and pains as a result of our, you know, walking a mistaken identity. Walking a life, you know, how do I put that? It's cut off from the life of God. Separated from the life of God because we are blinded by the vanity that is in our minds. That is the vanity, that is the carnal mind. Praise God. So God is bringing about an awakening, a quickening. It says that in Adam we all died. We know what happened to Adam. Adam deviated from the truth and started to live after the wisdom of this age. Adam started to live after the wisdom of this age, which we see depicted by that serpent. The serpent is the carnal creature of the dust, who talks of the carnal mind, talks of the wisdom of this world. See, the serpent, the dragon, the beast, all these things are just names we use to describe the wisdom and the carnal reasoning of men of this age. Praise God. And that is, as long as we live in, you know, and we are empowered by that wisdom that comes from the earth, from this world, we cannot be partakers of that thing that is heavenly, which is Christ. Because the wisdom of this age actually glues us, attaches us to vanity, attaches us to a temporal material order that is not. Praise God. That is what happened to Adam. Adam died and lost all awareness of who he was, lost all awareness of his oneness with God. See, it was when Adam died that they started to form religion. It was when Adam died that they started to look for God somewhere in the sky. That was when Adam died. He lost all awareness of the fact that he was one and parcel, one in a part and parcel of the Godhead. He lost all that knowledge. And you know, these things look so far away from men. This reality of our oneness with the Father, the reality of our oneness with Christ, looks so far away and alien to men that even when Jesus Christ brought the revelation that I and the Father are one, it was real, real, real controversy in those days. It was controversy. Because men are actually, yes, men are actually deep asleep in their humanity. But thank God the revelation light is coming now. Christ is bringing about an awakening so that the people can no more walk according to the vanity, see, of this age, but walk in the light as is in the light. So these are the ones that escape the corruption and the destruction that we find in the world. These are those who are awake in Christ. Now the Bible says all shall be made alive in Christ. It's not saying just a sect of people. See, but we know this thing happens according to order. Praise God. As you have this revelation, you might as well just apply it to your life and begin to walk in the light as it's in the light. Praise God. So we move on. Verse 23, and every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Praise God. And afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. Then come at the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet, but when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted. We did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Praise God. So he's just talking about the walking of the end. Have we heard of the end of the world before? Have we heard of the end of the faith before? The end of the world, the end of the faith is simply the end of, how do I put it? That life that we've lived that is separate from God. That is the end. You see it? When this work is finished, God becomes all in all. That means we are swallowed back into that reality that we are part and parcel of the Godhead. See, Christ is our life. We are Christ. That is our identity. And Christ is one with the Father. See, they are inseparable. This is what you see in 1 John chapter 5. See, it's come to give us understanding. It's come to awaken us to the reality that we are in Him. That is true. Him that is the true creature of God, which is Christ. Amen. We are in Christ. And this is the true God and eternal life. The fullness of God, the totality of the Godhead, everything that is God is invested in the Son. So you can see that the Son of God, which is Christ, is simply an embodiment of God. That is God appearing as man. So the gospel only awakens us to the reality that we are part and parcel of that body. He says what? He has come to give us understanding. He has come to give us shine light in our, you know, in our hearts. That understanding that we lost is the key that we're losing us from the grip of death today. If we can get this revelation today and understand what the Father is saying, that we are one and part and parcel of the living God. Praise God. We are all one in Him. So this is what Christ is coming to restore. This is the restoration work today. Anybody that does not realize this union with God, the Father, is actually dead in his sins and trespasses. Praise God. But when we are waking, when we consciously are waking, we become aware of the fact that we function in Him. We have our being in Him. That we have no life of our own. Our life is hid in Him and He's in us. We are one and indivisible. Praise God. Now we'll move on. I'll just go down to verse, because these chapters are very long. Go to verse 45. And so it is written, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man was made a living soul, and the last man, Adam, became a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is what? Natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, the earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we are born the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit corruption. Now let's stop here. I just want us to browse through this initial part. We're seeing the purpose of God. We're getting clearer picture here. He talks about two men, two images. There's one man of the earth, which is called Adam, and there's a second man from heaven, which is called Christ. And the Bible says that we have all lived the image of the earthly, which is the natural man, which is the carnal man, which is the man of this world, which is the man from beneath, which is the man with the mark of the beast, which is the devil. Yes. You see, the man of the earth is actually devilish. See, Jesus Christ called them offspring of vipers, snakes.
Vipers,
yes. Yes. Offspring of vipers, snakes. Meaning they're offspring of the devil. See, the serpent in the beginning is a snake, is the devil. They're offspring of the devil. When man walks in the flesh, you don't walk with the mark of the father, you walk with the mark of the beast. You walk as a son of the devil. That's why you have all kind of lawlessness we see in the flesh today, because men are not walking as walking sons of God. They're walking in a mistaken identity. You see, but in a mistaken identity. See, that is the natural identity that we have born first. See, and along with that identity of the earth comes all the sorrow and the anguish of pain, and the anguish of soul. It comes all the pain, emotional pain. See, the weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the realm of outer darkness, where a man is separated from the reality of his oneness with God. He's in this world without God, without Father, without Helper, without nobody. He's just out there playing tricks and, you know, going around just trying to outwit the other person, and all these things we do are just things to survive. The other day I heard on television how a sister here in Italy, a sister tried to hire a hired killer to kill the other sister so that she can inherit, you know, the properties of the parents. She didn't want to divide the property with the other sister, so she hired the hired killer, and the hired killer, you know, felt it in his conscience, and he went to report the case. Now these are cases that we've heard, but there are many other cases that are not heard of. You hear of unsolved mysteries, unsolved murders. See, mysterious things that we see in this world, tricks and, you know, scheming of men, wickedness, bitterness, greed. All these things is because people are walking in the lie. Because people are walking, not realizing the truth. These are people walking on the earth. These are men of the earth who do not know God. Jesus Christ says, the world does not know God. This entity called the world does not know God. See, all these things you see in the religious places, your laws of morality and everything we see all over the world today cannot bring man to God. The only thing that can bring us to God is our awakening into the reality of Christ in us. It's our awakening to the reality of who we truly are in God from the foundation of the world. It's only the resurrection from the dead that can cause us to know what God is. There's no amount of study or no amount of scrutiny or no amount of, you know, religious sacrifice we can make as men that can cause us to know God and to be united with Him. It's impossible. The world does not know God, full stop, and that is where it ends. Because the world is a product of ignorance of God. So we are born the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. See, this is the promise. See, this an immutable promise, a promise that cannot be tampered with, a promise without a condition. God did not give this promise here with a condition that if you do good or if you do this way or if you do that way, you will put on the heavenly man. No. We are born the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We have lived as mortal men of the dust, we shall also put on the image of the spiritual man who is not of this world, who is from above. And in that day you will know that you are the Lord from heaven. In that day you will know that Christ is your life. In that day you will know that you are part and parcel of the body of Christ. That you are one spirit with Christ in the invisible. In that day you know that the Lord is your life. And that you have no life of your own as a man. You will discover in that day that that image you bore on the earth was only an illusion. You only slept and thought you were this, you thought you were that, or you thought you had to do this, you thought you had to do that, and all these things are just men that are enveloped in darkness in the lives of this age. So we shall bear the image of the heavenly. This is the promise of God. This is the Lord from heaven. This is Christ. This is the Lord, the embodiment of God from heaven. We shall all bear that image. Praise God. And this is the seed. This is the promise, and these are things that we should meditate on. Now, it doesn't mean that we'll just sit back and say we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. Of course we'll bear it. Even if you sit back, you will definitely bear it. But see, the earlier we stir up ourselves and exercise ourselves in truth, the earlier we escape the corruption and the pain and anguish of soul that is in this world. All that is in this world is what? Suffering. You think men are enjoying? You just need to taste one moment in the presence of God, then you will see how men are suffering. 1 second in the third heavens, 1 second in God's presence, and you look down and see men, and you discover that men are in a mess. Men are the most miserable things ever, that you can ever think of. More miserable than the beast of the field. Men are actually creatures wallowing in poverty. Poverty, spiritual poverty. Praise God. So we have to stir up ourselves. Peter writes in his letter, he says that we should quicken the coming of the Lord, quicken the day of the Lord, quicken the end. We quicken the end by allowing the Lord speak to us, aligning ourselves with the Lord, allowing the Lord to reign in us, allowing the Lord to keep all things in us subject under Him. See, allowing Christ to rule in us. That means everything in our minds, in our body, in our, you know, thinking faculties have to be subject to that of Christ. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It's very, very important. It's very, very important that we discipline ourselves, exercise ourselves in these things that we hear. You see, it's not a matter of saying, you know, we hear doctrines of reconciliation of all things and all that kind of stuff. See, and not that they are wrong, but it's how we enter in, how we receive and enter in that matters most. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, verse 50 says that Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. But I show you a mystery: we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, what are we hearing today? You know, I'm blowing the trumpet. You see, I'm blowing the trumpet. The trumpet is actually the voice of the Spirit. It's actually the breath of God. You know, when you blow a trumpet, it's the breath that you blow. Isn't it?
Yes.
Into the trumpet. Yes. Into the trumpet. So it's what is inside of you that comes out of the trumpet. And we are receiving things today from the depths of God. It's God that's actually, it's the breath of God that's actually blowing forth, revealing the deep things of God to mankind today. Before now, we have listened and we have lived according to the depths of men, to the deep things of Satan, because the knowledge of Satan and the knowledge of man is all one. Satan and man are one. You see, when you grow, when we grow in the faith, you realize that Satan is not just something with a fork and knife, with a fork in the hand and a tail somewhere in the sky. Satan is all intermingled in the systems of men and the systems of religion. Satan is all about man and his system. It's the darkened knowledge of man that does not know God. The darkened reason of men is all from the front of Satan. They are all one. Remember Jesus Christ? What did he tell this guy, the Peter, when Peter tried to fumble? Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou knowest not the things of God, but the things of what? Of men. So you can see that there are two types of knowledge here. You have the knowledge of Satan, and you have the knowledge of God. There are two types of knowledge, two forms of knowledge. You can either draw from that which is of men, which is natural understanding, which is earthly wisdom, which is wisdom that attaches you to the earthly, or you can draw from the depths of God, which is heavenly wisdom, celestial wisdom. See, wisdom that will, how do I put it, that will lift you up out of the illusion of your mortal existence and cause you to be seated back in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, it's only by the knowledge that comes from God that you can be once more conscious of the spiritual unlimited blessings that God has given to you from the foundation of the world. It's only by the depths of God that you can escape the wisdom from the depths of God, that you can escape the corruptible man, the man of the flesh. See, that is the flesh and blood that cannot inherit God's kingdom. It's only as we receive from the things of God that this transformation occurs in us. It's only as we receive from the depths of God are we awakened from the graveyard of humanity and, you know, ushered back into the light, so that we stand where he is, in the place of life. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Abundant life in the Garden of Eden, in God's kingdom. Praise God. So this is the transformation on the cross. Transformation is just in your reasoning, in your consciousness. The quickening effect of the truth of God causes us to awaken consciously and become aware of God's invisible world, invisible kingdom, and we enter into the realm of abundance. No more bound to the, you know, dictates of the flesh like we see in this world today. Praise God. This is where we are, the born again. Say born again, born again, born again. Must be born again. You cannot be born again by just going up to the altar. The pastor says, if you are not giving your life to Christ, come up. It doesn't end there. You are born again when you allow the truth from the depths of God to convert you and cause you to realize your true spiritual self. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
See, the depths of Satan or the depths of man, the knowledge of man, which we saw from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, is what makes you walk as a man. That is the knowledge that makes you walk as a mortal. That is the knowledge that makes you walk as an ordinary man who thinks that God is here and he is there. That is the knowledge of this age. And as long as you walk and you are quickened by the knowledge of this age, you are dead in your sins and trespasses. That's why the book of Isaiah says, cease from man. Cease from man. The Bible says, cease from man. Cease from man means cease from the knowledge and the wisdom of man. Cease from everything that is man and begin to receive the things of God. Enoch never died. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. Enoch, after 300 years, ceased from men. His first how many years? I can't remember. His first few years, he ceased. After that, he ceased from men and walked with God, 300 men. And when you walk with God, it means you receive from God. You are led of God. You are nourished of God. You tap from the depths of God. That is why Enoch was not, he never died. The Bible says Enoch did not die. He was taken away. In likewise manner, when we cease from men, when we cease from the knowledge of, from the depths of Satan, which is carnality, and begin to receive the good, spiritual goods of God, we are transformed. There is a quickening. There is a shifting in the consciousness, an awakening in the consciousness. And you begin to know yourself, you know you are, the way you are known of God. You begin to recognize yourself, the true light spiritual being that you are. And in that day, you come, you can confess like Jesus, that I am not of this world. I am not of this world. I am not of this material world. But I'm from an eternal kingdom that never passes away. Praise God. So we are seeing the will of God for our lives today. See, I meet a lot of sisters. They call us because at times we see miracles in our ministry. And some people, they call us for, here in Italy we receive sisters and, you know, brothers who call us. Pray for me for this, pray for me for that. And we do pray for people, but I always say before we pray that let us recognize the will of God for our lives. It's not just, he didn't come to just give you, to heal you, your finances only. He didn't come to just heal your of your health. He didn't just come to give you a job. He didn't just come to give you promotion. But rather he has come to put an end to that life you've lived in error and cause you to awaken to the reality of your true identity in Christ. Praise God. Because once you discover who you truly are, you discover that you don't need any other thing. You are complete in Him. Nothing else can be added or taken away from you. You are perfect. Amen. All things are yours and you rule and reign in the glory of God. You are rich and everything is yours. Everything that the Father has is yours. And anything that you ask for can will be given to you. Jesus Christ knew this principle. That's why it says, what Jesus Christ normally say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all other things will what? Will follow. Seeking first the kingdom of God. Now we just read it just now that kingdom of God, flesh and blood cannot enter. That means if we seek the kingdom of God, we receive the depths of God, and we allow the truth, the revelation truth, convert us. We are no more conformed to this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, allowing the truth to transform us. That is how the kingdom of God opens up to us. And when we find the kingdom of God, all the other things are what? Are added. See it? Hallelujah. The 1,000 loaves are added. The 7,000 loaves are added, isn't it? The fishes in the sea are added. Praise God. The money in the mouth of the whale and all that stuff is added. Everything that you ever need is added to you. Because you have God. Amen. And we know that God out of God came forth everything that is seen in this natural realm. So if you have God, the secret here is that everything that you ever need will always follow you day and night. In that dimension, you don't need bank accounts. In that dimension, you don't need to plan for the future, because everything is yours. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? This is the dimension that God brings, wants us to come into. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek his righteousness. His righteousness is not the righteousness of the world. It's not about doing good or how to be nice or whatever. No. His righteousness is in discovering yourself the way you are known of him. His righteousness is in discovering Christ in you. Rediscovering your true spiritual potentiality, your true spiritual self. Then you discover that you are holy, you are righteous, you are perfect. And there's nothing that can be added or taken away from you. Oh, praise God.
Hallelujah.
So this is the hope, brethren. Hallelujah. Let us remove our minds from every other thing. And let us be focused on these things of the kingdom. Hallelujah. This is the only substance. This is the only gift of God for us. Jesus Christ says, I give you a kingdom. I give you a kingdom. That is the gift of God for all mankind. And this is the only thing that has substance. Every other thing will pass away. They will just dissolve. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Father, we glorify you. Thank you. Thank you for your word. Exalt you. Hallelujah. Let our mind be focused on the things that pertain to your kingdom and things that pertain to life.
Yes.
Raise us up.
Amen.
Quicken us continuously.
Amen.
Cause the depths, the hunger and hunger and hunger to know you more within our hearts.
Amen.
Blind our eyes from vanity.
Amen.
And let us lay hold on substance.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Because it is done.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.